Wishbone Boys Wednesdays here on the Wake Up Call continues. Butch Hobson, you probably know him a little bit more from his baseball, but he played football too at the University of Alabama during the Wishbone days, and he joins us this morning, and he's a coach now. Coach, appreciate you joining us. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Right.
Well, you've had an interesting career going back with a little bit of football mixed in, but you're still managing some baseball right now, aren't you?
I'm still doing it, buddy. Still doing it.
And it's the Chicago Dogs, is that correct?
That's right. Chicago Dogs is in Rosebud, Illinois, right here, right 2 miles from O'Hare Airport.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Hey, well, I visited Chicago. I love Chicago.
I do, too.
That's great. Certain parts of Chicago, Rosemont is they call it the Village of Rosemont. It's a nice area. Our owner puts everybody up here at the Aloft Hotel, which is right across the interstate from the ballpark, and it's a really good setup. And the guys that have the chance to play here are, pretty fortunate to, this ballpark's. This is our fourth year. And they spent $70 million and built this ballpark. It's beautiful. But I'm enjoying my time in the American Association. I've been doing independent ball now since 2000, except for a stint with the Diamondbacks in 17. The way I look at it right now, I think the good Lord, when he get ready for me, I'm going to be on the baseball field.
There you go.
We'll talk some football in a minute, but I do want to talk a little baseball since you brought up. One of the things, and we love Wikipedia, is it tells you everything. I don't know how much of it's true, but it seems like most of it. I was reading on you being a manager, and you actually got to have your son in the game. You decided to play in the game because, it used to be player managers back in the day, and you have one of those rare distinctions that you played in the game with your son played in the game in a professional game. Tell about that.
Well, I was I was 65 years old at the time, and my oldest son was playing for me after he got released by the Blue Jays in Lancaster. I've got to the last game of the season, last day of the season. Well, actually, it was 2 days. So Friday night, it was Sunday day. Day game was the last game of the season, and neither team was in the playoffs. And I just had this wild idea that, it'd be really cool if I could just be on the field with my son, and I play third while he plays first. I hit second, he hits third for winning. So I asked him, I said, what do you think about it? He said, Dad, go for it. So I did it.
How? Wow.
Hadn't picked up a bat in about 5 years. So I hit in the cage Sunday morning for about an hour. By the time the game got there, I could barely pick my bat up. But it was a great experience for him and for me. And that's something I had to do. I just had to do it. And I think he's something he'll always remember. And I know I'll never forget. So, I was able to, I was able to get in there and at least make an attempt to try to hit the ball. And when I went out for defense, it was the other manager of the team we were playing played for me and with the Red Sox. And hell, I think everybody in baseball has played for me somewhere down the road here. I told him what I was doing. He said, okay, I'm just going to tell everybody don't hit it to third. I said, God bless you, man. Well, one of his hitters did to my left, and I actually got a really good crossover to try to go get it, and I'm making a good move toward it, and my shortstop was a little rookie I signed. He came up to field it, and I ran over him. And knocked him. Ball hit him in the chest and knocked him down. He got up and said, who gets that error? I said, the hell you do. So it was it was a fun day, and it was something that I just had to do I wanted to do, and it was good for him, my son, too. So
I want to talk about the baseball a little bit more, and then we'll get into some of the football again, because you're really a baseball guy, as you said. You played baseball in the major leagues, and you've been able to manage. You played for the Red Sox. You managed the Red Sox. Talk about how all that kind of came together. As, a guy who played a little bit of quarterback under Coach Bryant, as a college kid who played Alabama baseball as well, and then baseball was your path. So talk about those days kind of leading up to the opportunity to go and manage in the major leagues.
Well, I'm thankful for, everything the good Lord's given me the ability to be able to do and the opportunities, and playing football for Bear Bryant was the biggest. You know, grew up in Alabama. If you don't play football, mama don't feed you. That's just the way it is.
And your dad played for Alabama too, didn't he?
Yeah, when your dad's the head coach, you're going to play. So,
yeah.
But baseball was always my first love. But I was fortunate enough to be drafted in 1973 by the Red Sox, which that was my junior year at Alabama. And then, fortunately, I spent 2.5 years in the minor leagues, and I was next thing I know, I'm in the big leagues. And got a chance to play. I loved the Boston Red Sox. I loved Boston. Had a chance to play there. And then, you know, after I started, I retired from playing. I started my managing career in 1987 with the New York Mets organization for 2 years in Columbia, South Carolina. Red Sox had an opening in Double A in 1989. And they called and offered me a job to be the manager in their Double A club in New Britain, Connecticut. And that's when I went back to the Red Sox, started managing, and I was blessed to be able to spend, you know, only 3 years, 5 years managing the minor leagues, and I got the job managing the Boston Red Sox where I grew up. So very blessed, and I got to manage the team that I grew up playing for. Great fans in Boston, great ballpark, a lot of fond memories, and have been managing since. I had always believed that, you know, your dad being a football coach, that I'd be some kind of coach or something somewhere. And I loved the game of baseball and was blessed to be able to have all these opportunities to, you know, play the game and then move on and teach the game to younger players that I would really hope and that they would have the same opportunity that I did. And so that's just, you know, for what's this, I think my 49th year in the game. I love it. I've had successes, I've had failures. It's a beautiful game. I'm hoping that, you know, where I am in my life right now, it's independent ball, but I've done it since 2000. I believe in independent baseball. It's been good. We've had about 80 players signed back to organizations out of our league this year. Which is a lot for a total, you know, it's usually about 40 a year, out of the league. So I believe in its opportunities for players that have played with organizations, have been injured or rehab, and to go back and play in a place. And if an organization calls looking for a player, they purchase their contracts from the league. So I've been blessed in a lot of ways, guys. Loved the opportunity to play for the University of Alabama in two sports. And I'm just a very blessed man.
Yeah, on the baseball side, when you got the call up, you got to play in the bigs, like we said, you also got to manage, as you mentioned. Is there one thing that you were like, that's my defining moment, I made it to a manager or a player? Is there one that kind of separates itself from the other?
I can't remember. I think we were in Syracuse, New York, when Joe Morgan, the manager in AAA, called me in. He called me Hobnobber. He said, "Hobnobber, you going to the big leagues tomorrow, brother?" And of course, I was floored. I knew that Rico had a little bit of an ear infection going on, and he was the third baseman in Boston. And I take it. I'm getting ahead of myself. I was a September call up in '75, and Dick McAuliffe was my manager actually, September call up is when they expand the roster. They called up two guys, myself and Andy Merchant, who was played in South Alabama down in Mobile. He called us up for a month. We weren't allowed to be there for the playoffs and stuff, but it was our call up time. And then in '76, they got the call midway through the season to go up and get called back up to Boston. And I had a blast. It was great. So it was. I remember a defining moment. I knew when I was in the big leagues that they put me right next to Yastrzemski in the locker room.
Wow!
And I'm sitting there next to the great Carl Yastrzemski, and he comes in, he looks at me, and he says, "Hobson." I said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Yastrzemski." He says, I'm going to tell you how to hit in the big leagues. I said, I'm all ears, Mr. Uscrimpsy. He says, swing hard in case you hit it.
Is that some advice that you passed on since then?
That was my advice from the great Carl Uscrimpsy to hit the big leagues. But
actually, I've heard that from a lot of guys.
Oh, really?
Swing hard.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. So,
yeah, he had a decent career there. I mean, you played for several years, seven, in fact, when you at least as far as major leaguers. So that's a pretty good run.
I played with some great players. I got to play with a lot of players that are Hall of Famers. Got to learn from the great players like Yaz and Rod Carew and the many guys that I had a chance to play for that are in the Hall of Fame. So I'm a very blessed man.
On the flip side, manage some too.
That's right. I have Boggs and. Well, Clemens, I don't know if he's going to ever get there or not, but Andre Dawson, Wade Boggs, let's see who else. That's in the Hall of Fame. I think that was probably the only two players that I had the opportunity to manage that are Hall of Famers. But I managed some tremendous players and got to manage in the beautiful city of Boston, where the beautiful ballpark Fenway Park is. So
yeah,
quite an experience.
Is there something that separates the Hall of Famers from the other guy? I mean, all these guys are great, and you were one of the guys that got to play. I mean, is there one thing that you could say makes them different than anybody else?
Consistency.
Yeah.
Being able to year in and year out, be fortunate to play without injuries, even though there are little aches and pains, but to be consistent and producing every year. And I think, in order to do that, you have to have a special love of the game to be able to keep going, to be away from your family for 162 days. And that's not counting spring training. Depending on your wife to take care of the kids and pay the bills while you're out playing the game of baseball. The consistency of being able to handle all those things and still go out and play a game in the major leagues. Those guys are, being consistent like that, it gives them that, the longevity to be able to put up numbers every year and get selected to be in the Hall of Fame.
Now, Trey, here sitting with me, Coach Butch Hobson here with us, folks, was planning you were going this summer to Boston. He maybe wants some tips and wanted. You're going to go to a game too, aren't you, Trey?
I'm going to
the Fenway.
I'm headed up next week on the 25th, the Yankees versus Boston. And Mr. Butch, I got a question for you. Is there some place that you baseball players have a secret place that I could go and maybe run into a baseball player to get something to eat, a wing place or something like that? That I may run into. Did y'all have a secret hole that y'all go to?
Everybody went to Jimmy's Pier 4 restaurant a lot to eat. So you could generally sometimes run it if it's still open. I haven't been to Boston in so long. There was a little sandwich place, pub type place that was like in the basement of a building. I can't remember the name of it. Hopefully it'll come to me by the time we finish this conversation, our conversation. But Jimmy's Pier 4 restaurant is very, very good.
Jimmy's, what was it now? Jimmy's what?
Pier 4.
Jimmy's Pier 4.
Right down on the harbor.
Okay.
Jimmy's Pier 4. I'll tell you later, because he'll forget it too. So,
but it's a really good, and I wish I could remember the other little honky-tonk place that we used to hang out at it, after a game, or usually a day game, guys would go down and have a couple of beers, eat a burger or something. But Boston's a great city. It's just, it's just one of those cities that's pretty unique in a lot of ways. And a lot of fun. Being able to see the Red Sox-Yankees. With the Red Sox-Yankee rival is not like it was when I played. When I played, the Red Sox-Yankee rival was intense. To say the least, it was always some kind of little altercation starting, always something going on in the stands with the fans. Yankee Red Sox fans is pretty. It was a pretty intense. So I think that rivalry has kind of like gone away. as to what it used to be, but it's still a, you know, a great rivalry. And
I guess you were playing with you were playing against Reggie Jackson back then, right? I guess
I did. I played against Reggie when he was with you know, when he was with the Orioles.
Yeah,
and then when and then when he was with the Yankees a little bit, yes, but mainly his years with the Orioles, and then I got to play with Reggie a little bit in 1981. In spring of 1982, when he signed as a free agent with the Angels. Yeah. When I was with the California Angels, the spring training.
You went with the Angels, and it says you played with the Yankees 1 year. Is that in 82? That was your last year, correct?
That was my last year in the big leagues. Yes. Yeah, I finished in AAA with the Yankees for 3 years in Columbus, Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, I was traded in 82 for to the Angels from the Yankees.
It's amazing what you've been able to do just in the baseball field. We're talking Wishbone Boys Wednesday, so I do have to get a little bit on football here. We got a few minutes left, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You mentioned you grew up in Tuscaloosa. Your dad was a coach. He played at Alabama. You went to Alabama. You played for Coach Bryant. I guess you were the backup to Terry Davis, who was the starter. But tell about your time as a player, as Alabama football player, on top of the fact that you, of course, were a baseball player too.
Well, I mean, you know, you, like I said earlier, you grow up in Alabama. You know, you want to either go play, you want to play football for Bear Bryant at that point in time at Alabama, or at Auburn for Shug Jordan. Two great coaches. And, you know, of course, my dad playing in Alabama, that's where I wanted to go. I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to go and play for Bear. My freshman year, we played. You know, I was a freshman, couldn't play varsity back then. You only had 3 years of varsity eligibility. Coach Bryant, I think there was probably seven of his quarterbacks signed that my senior in high school. Coach Bryant signed a lot of quarterbacks, and like running backs, receivers, defensive backs. That of them, they had me at strong safety. My sophomore year, I was supposed to be redshirted, but Lanny Norris got injured in the game against VPI. Steve Wade was his backup, so I ended up having to play, but you play one play back then, could no longer be redshirted. Went through the season as, you know, playing sparingly, my sophomore year, and I had, you know, was played baseball my freshman year, and after the football season, I went to Coach Bryant, and I sat down and I said, you know, I'd really like to play quarterback for University of Alabama, and he said, okay, Bush, don't play baseball this spring. And Coach Bryant didn't let too many. I think he let me play baseball because he knew I wasn't going to the NFL, and he knew how much I loved it.
Yeah.
But he said go through spring training, and I did, and ran the scout team most of spring training, and the next year, next summer in summer school, all the quarterbacks went down the second semester, and they, you know, we'd go to school and. And they'd give us a little job working with Herman on the stadium, at the stadium. And we were out on the, you know, just running, trying to get in shape and doing the things. Coaches aren't allowed on the field. But Coach Bryant at that point in time had went out to visit Darrell Royal in Texas and learn, you know, to get some – he wanted to learn the wishbone. Came back and finest guest and came. We were out on the field doing our running and stuff and finest guest and came out, gave us some footballs, and said, Coach Bryant, once you guys start working on the pitch, we're going to use a triple option this year. So that's what we did until the fall, and fall came around. And, you know, when I played high school for my dad, we ran the eye, but we ran a lot of option off the eye. I liked running the ball. I wasn't intimidated about getting hit. And it just fit in really good for me and was fortunate enough to back up Terry and get a lot of playing time my junior year. It was a tremendous year going, you know, 10-0 and playing Nebraska for the national championship and being able to be a part of that team.
Better rivalry, Yankees Red Sox or Alabama Auburn?
Alabama Auburn.
Thank you. We were hoping you were going to say
Butch,
that.
I got one more question for you, Butch, and before we go. My dad always talked about, you know, backup quarterback, and you are a backup quarterback for Alabama. And I've heard these stories of where Coach Bryant would get mad at the first team offense, and he would pull them out of the ballgame and put the second team in.
Wholesale substitutions.
Wholesale substitution because he was – did you ever run across that? And that's a question that I would love to ask, you know, some of these backup quarterbacks. Were you ever that guy – did that ever really happen to you while you played?
A couple of times. I mean, the two offenses were the Reds and the Jets, and the Jets were the backup team. So, but we played a lot only because I think if you remember, we averaged a lot of yards rushing, a lot of yards offense during the course of that year. So, you know, Coach Bryant wasn't the kind of coach that's going to go in and run up the score. The first team would go in and do their things, and then all of us on the second team, we got a lot of playing time, and there were a couple instances where not necessarily the whole team with Coach Bryant would get upset a couple of times. It's just like, you know, not having that a good day to start with, Coach Bryant would run somebody else out there. But I do remember a couple of times. Most of the time when the two offenses were used were when, you know, the first team were in there. The first team would go in there and, you know, we'd have a big lead, and Coach Bryant wanted, everybody else to get experience. So we ended up getting a lot of playing time as the second team offense with the wishbone.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
Hey, Butch, this has been great. We certainly enjoyed it. We could talk to you all day, but I know you've got things to do. Good luck with the baseball as you continue to manage.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being with us. Take care.
Yes, sir. Thank you all. Enjoyed it, guys.
We did too. Butch Hobson, former Alabama quarterback, baseball player, major league player, and manager now with the Chicago Dogs, independent team, managing still in baseball. And the Wishbone Boys Wednesdays, an event coming your way in August. Go to wishboneboys.com for more details. Get your tickets. This is going to be a great event at the historic Bama Theater, August the 28th.